Hello, church. Hello, it is so good to be together. Thank you for joining us in person and online. Special shout out to my online FAC fam. So grateful that you're joining us today. If we've never met before, you don't know who I am. My name is Corey. I'm the online campus pastor here. And I just want to say welcome. It is so good to be together and so nice, right, everyone? Let's just take a deep breath. We're here. We're here. Feels like we made it. Right? Over the summer, we've been working through the book of Mark. And the book of Mark reminds and encourages us that Jesus has authority over all. And the book of Mark helps us understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And the book of Mark helps us as his disciples, as his followers. It helps us learn how to live life, which for many of us, maybe it feels like we're learning how to do that again. You know, God promised his kingdom, but his kingdom would not be the political, military kingdom that people expected at the time. The kingdom would come through the Messiah, but not through the Messiah that they expected either. You know, Pastor James, he started our journey through Mark last week, and we learned that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and that we need to make space for Jesus in our lives. And as we journey through Mark, I would encourage you to actually read through it yourself, to open it up, read it over the summer. Maybe you can just read it this evening. And there's a really great overview of Mark. It's called The Bible Project. If you haven't heard it already, it's wonderful. You can get it on YouTube or Right Now Media by Tim Mackey. It's called The Bible Project. I highly recommend those videos. So we're going to be spending our time together in Mark chapter 5. And this chapter provides what could be called the case of the three impossibles. You know, we have a demonic man, a diseased woman, or a dead little girl. And Jesus does the impossible in each of these stories. And today we're going to be spending time in Mark 5 and unpacking the first of those stories. In Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, where Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. You know, ironically, the surrounding people who witnessed this deliverance had less acceptance of the deliverer, Jesus, than they had of the demonic. And when Jesus shows up, everything changes. We see in Mark 5 that Jesus is Lord over demons, over disease, and death. Jesus comes onto the scene and shakes up the status quo. Now, status quo, it's a Latin phrase meaning the existing state of affairs, particularly with regard to social and political issues. To maintain the status quo is to keep things the way they are. You know, over the past year, we've all experienced what it's like to be shaken up inside. Our status quo has drastically changed from what we once used to call normal life to what we're experiencing today. And we're longing for a bit of normalcy in our lives. I would just love us just to look around the room and just smile at each other. Can we do that? Just like look around. Look around. You know, we're not shaking hands, but just smile, give a wave. Those of you joining online, you know, drop those wave emojis in the chat. You know, you can jump on the chat right now, do that. It's just so nice to see people, to be together. Now, Jesus, here's the flip. Here's the switch. Jesus is here to shake up our status quo. Jesus is here to literally transform our world, your world, my world. You know, the pandemic and all that it entails has caused destruction, death, disease, but Jesus comes and he brings life and the fullness of love. I feel like it's human nature to want to self-preserve ourselves, to keep things the way they are. And a change, it's difficult for us to handle, whether it's working from home or coming back to work. Wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. Change is difficult. But there's something beautiful about responding to the presence of Jesus in our lives, following him and letting him shake up our status quo. It's important to remember that when we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at God. Jesus is showing us God's heart and intent in this passage through what he does. And just to set the stage a little bit for us, you know, Jesus has just calmed the raging sea and commanded it to be quiet, to be still. And the disciples were in shock. You know, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey? Well, if they didn't know already, they're about to find out. Crossing what we know as the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his disciples arrive on the shore, you know, probably for a quick pit stop. You know, close to them was a steep slope that went right into the shore. You know, there was some shepherds over here tending some pigs. And beyond that was the cavernous tomb, the graveyard. And this is where our story unfolds. So let me read from Mark 5, 1 through 20. So this is this is Jesus and the disciples, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of the voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So this man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let me pray. Father, this is your word given to us. Thank you that thousands of years later, we can read the testimony of this man who experienced freedom in Christ. Father, may your word speak to our hearts today. May it change us, transform us. May we find freedom in you, Jesus, and experience your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, he provides a glimpse into the strategies of the demons. An older and wiser demon named Screwtape is mentoring the younger Wormwood. You know, in his preface to the Imaginary Letters, Lewis writes this: "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or magician with the same delight." You know, the materialist of the Enlightenment, you know, they were fooled into disbelieving the existence of demons or any spirit being for that matter. And on the flip side, New Ageism and postmodern mysticism have been intrigued with angels and demons and spirits beyond the physical world. Even Hollywood has been fascinated with the occult, angels and demons. You know, early 1973 with the release of The Exorcist, you know, no more pea soup for you. And I'm sure you can add to the list of movies and televisions that focus on the supernatural. And as followers of Jesus, we need good biblical foundation for the supernatural. We don't need to take our cues from Hollywood, as entertaining as it may be. And Mark provides an excellent starting point for us. You know, Jesus believed that demons were real, and that should be enough for us. That should settle the question of their existence. We also see in this encounter with the demon-possessed man that Jesus, the Son of God, has power, mercy, and authority to set the man free and bring deliverance. We see that Satan and his demons are here to destroy, and the Savior is here to bring life. Beginning in Mark 2, we read that when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came to the tombs to meet him. I'm sure this had to be an eerie experience for the disciples. You know, they just made it through the storm, and as soon as they get off the boat, the demon-possessed man starts running at them. You know, not only was it a slightly nerve-wracking, you know, having someone chase you down, but in the eyes of the disciples, he was defiled. This is someone that you stay far, far away from. You know, a Jew would view the touching of a dead body as an act of defilement. And here is a man living among the dead. The people of the town, they drove him away, and he descended into a life of death and destruction. A zombie. You don't go near this man, you run, and you run far. Jesus says in John 10:10, a thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. In John 8:44, he says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Peter adds, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone who he can devour. It's clear that the goal of the enemy is destruction and death. The enemy is here to destroy us and our relationships. And I really think it's that simple. So here we have a man running around, tired, wild, naked, marks of cuts, bruises, probably some of them infected, trying again and again and again to end his unbearable existence of life. He's hopeless, isolated, and tormented. He was self-destructive, an outcast that no one wanted to be around. This was his life. This was his everyday existence. This was the way things were. But something happened that would change his life forever. This man met Jesus. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he runs towards him. And Jesus said, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Now, interesting note, the impure spirit didn't actually come out right away. However, this demon-possessed man did something very different. He knelt down before Jesus, an acknowledgement of Jesus' authority. This makes me think of Philippians 2:10 that says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. You know, this man yells, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. You know, demons asking not to be tortured. You know, it doesn't quite make sense. The impure spirit cries out in fear because Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, arrives on the scene. And we soon learn about the horrifying grip this demon had on the man. In verse 9, the impure spirit speaks and he says, my name is Legion. My name is Legion, for we are many. This man was not possessed by one demon, but by thousands of tormenting demons. You know, the demons, through the voice of this man, kept begging Jesus not to send them away. In Luke 8:31, we learn that the demons begged Jesus not to banish them to the abyss, a place of spiritual confinement until final judgment. And I honestly don't know why Jesus didn't send them there. That really sounds like the best possible place for them. But here we are, a large herd of pigs is feeding on the hillside, and the legion of demons begged, you know, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. And Jesus agreed, and they moved on over. And the pigs were driven to their death. William Lane has an idea of why Jesus allowed the demons to enter this herd of pigs. And he says, first, Jesus recognized that the time of ultimate vanquishment of the demons had not yet come. And Jesus allowed the demons to enter the swine to indicate beyond question that their real purpose was the total destruction of the host. So let's take a moment and share some of the important theological truths from the story so far. Biblical truths, you know, not from Hollywood. So we learn that demons are real and dangerous. A demon or multiple demons can take possession of a person. Demons can make themselves known by speaking through a person and taking control of their body. Demons are powerful spiritual beings. They can exhibit enormous strength through a person under their control. Demons can inflict serious personal injury to the one possessed and to others, with the ultimate goal of the person's death. Demons can move or be transferred from one host to another. Demons can resist leaving the person. They may even beg. Demons recognize and are subject to appropriate spiritual authority. Yay, Jesus! If demonic spirits attempted to resist Jesus, we can be sure that they will attempt to resist us. Jesus spoke directly to the demon, even asking its name. And Jesus didn't use elaborate rituals. He simply gave the command, and the demons were forced to obey. I mean, this man had no hope until the living expression of hope showed up. Someone whose power and authority was greater than what possessed this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. We have no hope until Jesus shows up. And my friends, I am so grateful that he is here with us today. Hope is here today for anyone who needs it. Freedom is here today for anyone who needs it. Because I believe the greatest change that we can make in our life is to surrender our lives to Jesus, to bow our knee and follow him. Now, this man experienced freedom for the first time in his life. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a beautiful passage. I love it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, here is a living example of someone experienced the old life gone and the new life unfolding before him. I'm going to do a quick poll. Show of hands. How many of you are in that boat? The old life is gone. The new life is here. Who's living the new life? Who are the new creations? Right? If you're online, raise that hand. There's a hand, raise the hand emoji. Come on. The new creations in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. And what a wonderful life that we've entered into. Now, I want to continue the story. There are other people in the story. In verse 14, we see that those who were tending the pigs, they ran off. They ran off to tell others about this particular incident. And do you think that people, you know, would be happy when they found this guy, when they found this person who was free? Do you think they'd be excited about what they witnessed? Nope, they were not happy. They were very unsettled. In Mark 5:15, it ends, and they were afraid. The people came out and they were shocked at what had happened. And they were told about this man and this pigs, and there was no way this was real. Was this really the man from the graveyard? You know, the naked, screaming, wild man? Now he's like peaceful, like has clothes on. He's in the right state of mind. He was completely a new person. And wait, all the pigs, they're dead? I mean, all of them? I mean, from their perspective, you know, this random dude that no one liked, okay, he's dressed, he seems a little bit, more appropriate, but the bigger issue is their livelihood was gone. You know, now they have to go collect their livestock out of the sea and try to sell some pork chop demon meat on the market. Good luck with that. But I also think they knew that they were in the presence of something greater. And it probably scared them. Who has the power to take away their livelihood in one afternoon, let alone transform a demon-possessed man? Jesus appears on the scene and he's shaking up the status quo. You know, who has the power to do this? You know, this is the sad part, but the understandable part in verse 17. The people begged Jesus to leave. You know, what a sad reality of the self-centeredness of the human heart without God. We really only think about ourselves. How sad asking the Messiah, the Son of God, to leave. I mean, I know they didn't really know better. I mean, when I think about it, as a society, we haven't really changed much. People are afraid of change. We love to live in the status quo, to keep things the same. We either choose to be delivered or choose to depart from Jesus, and we can't stay neutral. And the people may have not cared for the demon-possessed man, but the Son of God did, and Jesus made him a new man that day, and heaven rejoiced. Let Jesus deliver you. Let Jesus change you. Don't run away from him. Run to him. Don't ask him to leave. Jesus doesn't force himself on anyone. When he's invited, he will come. When he's told to go away, he leaves. And many people don't have anything against Jesus. They would just want to keep him at a distance. But Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. And we need to run quickly and let him in. And Jesus is here to set the captives free. And what a beautiful example of life change that we've witnessed here. And I know many of us are here today. We can say the same about our stories. You know, we read in verse 18 that he begged to go with Jesus. You know, I think about it when I'd for sure, I don't know about you, but I'd for sure want to follow the man that changed my life forever. You know, who set me free from the power of darkness. Wherever you go, Jesus, sign me up. I'm following. But what does Jesus do? He says, no. He says, no. Jesus had other plans. He said, go home. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Start in your home and work from there. Go to your families and friends and share with them. Tell them of my mercy. Be my witness. Share your story. You are lost, but now you are saved. You were possessed, but now you are free. You once belonged to Satan, but now you belong to the Son of God. So he goes and he tells whoever who will listen. The people who had only known the demon-possessed man have now met someone that is completely transformed, consumed by God's grace and his compassion. Let's use our imagination. So let's close our eyes, if you'd like. No pressure here, okay? But let's put ourselves in this man's coming home story. One can sense the excitement building within this man's heart as he got closer to home. Perhaps he had a wife and children. How long had it been since he saw them, kissed his wife, held his children? Is it possible they had been praying for him all this time? God, rescue my husband. Dear God, please help my daddy. Bring him home. Finally, this man sees a home that he has not seen for a very, very long time. A little boy turns from playing in the dirt and sees his daddy. Running out the front door is this precious little girl. She stops in her tracks. And when she sees him, with the excitement only a daughter can have for her daddy, she begins to scream at the top of her lungs, Mommy, Mommy, it's Daddy, it's Daddy, he's come home. No longer walking, the man is now in a sprint. Gathering in his arms his little boy and little girl who had run to him. Then there in the doorway stood a lady, his wife. With tears streaming down her face and a sweet smile, she is speechless, all caught up in the joy of the moment. Now they're all there embracing, crying tears of joy. How could this be? What happened? Wiping the tears from his eyes, the man looks at his wife and children and begins, I met a man named Jesus. He is the Son of the Most High God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. For many of us today, this is our call to action. We've been set free. Now we are to go and tell others about how much the Lord has done for us. Jesus asks you to go and share your story. Friends, we are commanded to go and tell others about the good news of Jesus. There's no sitting on the sidelines. Every player is a valuable player. What do we say? Well, come and hear. All who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me. Psalm 66:16. And Jesus tells us exactly what to say. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. Jesus is here to deliver. And when he does, be sure to go and tell others what he has done for you. So what's next? I mean, for some of you, you can place yourself in the story. You may or may not be literally possessed, but you're alone. You're looking for hope. You're broken. You're looking for answers, for healing, for freedom. You're looking for God somewhere in the midst of your circumstances. You're living in the graveyard. And maybe on the inside, this is exactly how you feel. No one could help this man, and he couldn't help himself either, until he met a man named Jesus. He met a man named Jesus. And I would love for you to meet him if you've never met this man before, because Jesus, he's reaching out to us. Every day he's reaching out to us. And it's a simple invite for us to open our hearts to him. As followers of Jesus, we know we do this all the time, but maybe you're at a place where you haven't met this man named Jesus yet. I pray that you would open your heart to him, that you wouldn't run away or ask him to leave or be afraid, because he is here to bring freedom and he is here to set the captives free. I know for some of us, you know, we know that sin has shackled us. It's kept us down. But he is here to break those chains. Early when I had people raise hands in person, online, whatever it was for you, I think for some of you who maybe don't know what it means to follow Jesus, there is a wonderful community of people who love Jesus and would love to tell you about how good he is. Don't be afraid to ask. We'd love to introduce you to him, to tell you about all the good things that God has done in our lives. I know sometimes we just need to come to the place where we need to admit that we're a mess, because I know I'm a mess and I know that I need help, but we're here for you. We're here together. Our prayer team will come up at the end of the service, because we can do that. They're going to come up and they are more than willing to pray with you with whatever is going on in your life. And I'm so glad that we can offer that, because we would love to introduce you to Jesus. So don't be afraid. And I know he's pulling at your heart, because he pulls at mine every day. So now's the time to respond. Now's the time to walk with Jesus. And if you're online, there are people who are ready and willing to help you with whatever it may be. We'd love to connect with you and help you along your journey as well. And FAC also offers a program called Inner Healing Ministry. And this personal session is designed to bring emotional, spiritual, and physical healing to the experiences of our past. Our past hurts and wounds are healed as we move from a place of forgiving those who have wronged us. We are created to have deep, deep and meaningful connections with God. And our Father God longs to speak to each of us in a personal way. And there are many situations we have experienced through our lives that can hinder us from hearing his voice and pursuing the depth of relationship that we were created for. That's what this is all about, inner healing ministry. And of course, we have Celebrate Recovery here at FAC that happens every week. It's about connecting with other people and celebrating God's healing power by working and applying biblical truths and principles to grow spiritually and become free from our destructive behaviors. This freedom creates peace and joy, and more importantly, helps us connect with God and with others. And I also think it's okay to put ourselves in Jesus' shoes in this instance. After all, as followers of Jesus, we're called to imitate him. And God's love is for everyone. You know, Jesus comes and he touches the untouchable. I love that. He touches the untouchable. And here at FAC, through our men's ministry, we have, it's called the Yellow Jacket Initiative. In partnership with the Mustard Seed, we send groups, small groups of people downtown, and they're equipped with food, hygiene items, and clothing to offer the clients. And if you want more information, you can ask myself or, you know, Pastor Grant Sylvester. Would love to chat as well. And if you're not sure how to go and tell others, one of the best ways to tell someone your Jesus story is by following this progression. You start talking about what your life was like before you met Jesus, when you met Jesus, and then talk about all the great things that he has done in your life. Go and tell. D.L. Moody often said, "The world has yet to see what God will do with, for, through, and in the man who is fully consecrated to him." When you think about it, because of this man's witness, legions, thousands, probably more than that by now, have come to faith in Jesus Christ. When Jesus returned to the area later, a whole crowd came out to see him and believed. And this came through the witness of one man. If God can use a demon-possessed man to change history, my friends, he can use you too. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you that we have freedom in Christ. Jesus, I know you are calling people out of the graveyard. And I know you are calling people forward to break chains, to set the captive free. As someone who has experienced the hope found in Jesus, the peace found in Jesus, the love found in Jesus, I pray that we would respond. Even if we made decisions to follow Jesus, would today be just another day that we kneel before you, our King, and say thank you for all the good things that you have done in our lives? Because I know many of us would not be where we are without you. Jesus, thank you for the hope. Thank you for the freedom. And if you're listening to my voice and you know Jesus is knocking on your heart, would you just open up and let him in? You literally have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And so, Father, I pray that as we go about the rest of our week, Father, would we go and tell all the amazing and wonderful things that you are doing in our lives? Thank you for your great love that has set us free. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, church.